You know them, Joe. You love them. It's the Federal Reserve. And I'll tell you, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I really don't understand how it fits in. You know, you think of it for years as part of the government somehow, something right. that is in the government, controlled by the government. The president can tell them what to do, or Congress or whatever. And really, that is not the case.
No, it isn't. And, you know, it was very, very clever when the banksters set that up, that they chose the word federal, because essentially what they were doing was hiding behind that name and making it seem like it's an instrumentality of government. But the only part that government really plays in it is the presidential appointment of the director or the chairman of the Federal Reserve. But beyond that, it's a privately held joint stock company. So there's really, you know, it's no more federal than Federal Express.
So you look at somebody like Bernanke, and you know, I would imagine for him it's like riding a Brahma bull or something. You don't exactly know where this thing is going to go. You might be the guy who's the titular head of the thing. It doesn't mean you control it.
That's right, exactly so. And, you know, the irony of it all, George, is that during this last big, you know, billions of dollars bailout that began under the Bush administration and has continued under this administration, really what we're doing is borrowing money from the Federal Reserve to bail out the very banksters that are loaning the money to bail them out. So, you know.
Who caused it, yeah, the guys who caused
exactly.
it. You know, it's almost like, well, before we leave the Federal Reserve, I mean, what level of control does, say, the president have over them in appointing the top guy versus the level of control that the banks might have? I mean, who do they take their marching orders from?
Well, I that's another excellent question. And my opinion would be that the president really has very, very little control over who gets appointed. Certainly, the corporate influence in presidential campaigns to begin with is very, very pronounced. So by the time anyone gets in office, they're going to be more or less told or given a short list of candidates from which to choose. But, you know, that's more or less like voting in the old Soviet Union. You know, you can choose candidate A or candidate B, but they're going to be from the same party.
Yeah, you can choose from Goldman Sachs or,
right.
you know, Merrill Lynch.
That's right.
Well, what is the Federal Reserve's agenda then?
Well, personally, I think at one time it was genuinely to gain control of the American economy by any means necessary, but largely through the instrumentality of the creation of massive amounts of debt. Because, of course, there's never enough principal in circulation to pay off debt. Our debt is proceeding apace at the miracle of compound interest, while the principal just kind of lurks and lurches along at the slow growth of arithmetical growth. So in other words, that interest cannot be repaid on the principal in circulation. But now I think the game has really changed, because if the scenario of economic warfare and David Lee's formula is true, and I think there's a great deal arguing in favor of that scenario, then again, that corporate elite is now on the defensive. They've made too many enemies around the world. And the other thing that they're faced with now is China's very active role into going into third world countries and building up their infrastructure, roads and hospitals and schools and things like that. They're doing that with a vengeance in Africa, and they're doing it with a vengeance along with the Russians in Latin America. So they are really losing their worldwide grip. Their only base of power that they really have the similar amount of control over that they've had in past decades is North America.
Well, you hate to root for the Russians or root for the Chinese if you think about America as a government entity of the people. But you're saying that the America that we know really isn't by the Americans. It's somebody else.
Yes, it's rule of Wall Street, by Wall Street, and for Wall Street. I don't think it can be put any more concisely than that. I think that if we're to get our republic back, we really have to start listening to the politicians with the guts, like Ron Paul and a few others that have stood up and said, we really need to go in and audit this thing called the Federal Reserve. And if we find malfeasance, then go after the people that have practiced it.
All right. Well, let's talk about reform for a couple of minutes. And as a way to get into it, let's begin with the bailout. Your thoughts on this bailout? I mean, you know, a lot of finger pointing in this, a lot of partisan heat finger pointing by Democrats versus Republicans, who's to blame for the mess, who allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. And yet, when it comes to the bailout, it's bipartisan. Bush starts it, Obama continues it, everybody's happy to go along.
Yes. Well, again, I think my personal thought about the bailout, and I'm glad you asked that question, is that I had the impression, George, when I was watching those initial hearings back in the tail end days of the Bush administration, that we were looking at people who were acting like they were trying to pay off a hidden blackmailer, because there was this business that they wanted of no oversight of where this money was going to go. We were just supposed to hand them a blank check, and they were going to spend it as they wished. And to me, that smacks of the behavior of people that are under some sort of hidden pressure. I don't know from where. I have my suspicions, and my suspicions go back to the end of World War II and the post-war founding of the Bilderberg Group, because what I think the purpose of that group was for was to take all that Nazi loot and make it available to the big Western banks in New York City and London and launder that money. But any time you're sitting down with the likes of some sort of post-war international Nazi organization with a lot of loot, that's going to come with a heavy marker to pay off. And when that marker comes due, you'd better be able to pay. And I think something like that probably happened when the collapse came and the money was demanded, because the behavior of those bankers was to me far too suspicious and far too nervous. They were too nervous in asking for this no oversight clause.
You know, I hate to insult drunken sailors everywhere, but it's like Wall Street was acting like worse than any drunken sailor you could imagine. I mean, they brought this on themselves, risking all kinds of money, gambling, betting against their clients, things of that sort. And then, you know, they come hat in hand, bail us out, we're too big to fail. What do you make of that whole we're too big to fail scenario? Would things be worse if we hadn't bailed them out?
No, I don't think so. They aren't too big to fail. You know, the problem is that we have followed or really been suckered into believing that, you know, what's good for corporate America is good for all of us. Well, corporate America has shifted our manufacturing base largely overseas and done so under the aegis or the name of these goofy free trade agreements. When America was prosperous, we had relatively heavy protective tariffs on our industry, and that's when that industry grew and our trade grew proportionally. Now we are a debtor nation. We carry on a negative balance of trade with most nations, especially with China, because they're actually producing things. So I think too big to fail is absolutely untrue. If anything, they are too big not to be audited and not to be closely regulated by honest government.
What do you make of corporations, and again, they're American-based corporations, who send billions, tens of billions, to these offshore banks strictly as a tax dodge? And our government still does business with these companies.
Well, again, I think that that's a practice that has to be stopped. I mean, they are literally plundering the country, and it's high time, you know, to call a halt to this laissez-faire free trade idea and start bringing some of that money back home and bringing some of the industry back home with it. And that can only be done, in my opinion, by restructuring some of the policies of the government. We've got to make industry something that is profitable to do here. And in my opinion, again, the historical record is fairly clear. That can only be done by means of some sort of tariff.
Well, let's start with the idea of regulation or reform or getting this thing under control. This past weekend, yesterday, I guess, the Senate passed its version of financial reform.
Right.
I can guess how you feel about it, but why don't you go ahead and tell me?
Well, I haven't been following that very closely, but anything in that bill, as far as I'm concerned, and this is kind of a matter of general political philosophy for me, anytime a politician, be it Democrat or Republican, stands up and calls for financial reform and they do not address the basic fundamental issue of how the nation's money is issued and who is issuing it, then any sort of reform that they're talking really doesn't go to the nub of the problem. The nub of the problem is now, as it has been for millennia, whether or not the state is going to issue debt-free money or whether they're going to turn over that aspect of state sovereignty to a private monopoly that can only issue monetized debt. That's the rub of the problem.